Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. If you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. And you can pick it up at Amazon.com or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Amen. But let's get into the lesson tonight. You should have had, your handout. And as always, we cast the vision before you. What we believe that God is calling us to do and asking you right now to take your place by faith in the sanctuary, as we believe by faith that God is going to enable us to build this building. Amen.
Amen.
Bethlehem.
Share the love.
Amen. That's our theme for the year of 2014. And how are we going to share it?
By living it and giving it.
Amen. And this is our theme. We want to share the love, and we believe the best way to share the love is first to live it and then to give it. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I am interrupting my Acts 1-8 series as we are going through the book of Acts. And I'm doing something tonight that God led me to do. A message or a lesson entitled How or What to Do When Your World is Falling Apart. What to do when your world is falling apart. We're going to be looking at Psalms 46, 1, 6, and 9 through 10. Now, I want to challenge you this next week or two to meditate on this whole text, because I believe that it will encourage us in an uncertain time. Let's read this text out loud together on three. Psalms 46, 1, 6, 9 through 10. Let's read this out loud on three. One, two, three.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord tonight. Again, we're sharing what to do when your world is falling apart. What to do when your world is falling apart. And we're going to talk about stuff on around 3 points. We're going to talk about how God is our refuge. We're going to talk about how God roars. We're going to talk about how God reconciles. And we're going to talk about how God is rest. God is rest. We want Christians to know tonight that Christians should trust God in anxious times. Christians should trust God in anxious times. And undoubtedly, we are in anxious times. As I shared last Sunday, our convention was encouraging each church to have a prayer vigil for what's going on in Ferguson and what's going on in our world today. And we're going to do this little study, and then we're going to pray about some of the things that are going on in our world, not only in Ferguson, but what's going on in the Middle East and other areas of our world. But we want to encourage you to know that regardless of what we're going through in these uncertain times, that God is still God. Amen?
Amen.
I want to play a clip from this a little video, and then we'll get into the word.
The protest in Ferguson, Missouri, and the use of excessive force by the local police department is a major news story. Racial inequality is at the heart of this conflict, and there are numerous ways that this inequality can be measurably illustrated to prove that. One way is to look at inequality of representation, which is the relationship between the demographics of a community and how they are represented in government. If the majority of your community is African American, but the majority of your elected officials and police officers are not, that is inequality of representation. And right now, it is a huge problem in Ferguson. 67% of the residents are African American, but the positions of authority are almost entirely held by white people. 94% of the police force is white, 5 out of 6 city councilmen are white, the mayor is white, and every single member of the school board is white. That is a huge disparity in representation and gives African Americans little to no direct input into how their community is run. A dynamic made worse by an enormous financial divide. In predominantly African American Ferguson, the median household income is around $37,500, which is around $10,000 less than the median household income in the rest of the state and much lower than the median household income nationally. This is inequality of resources, and it doesn't just affect personal income. It also affects things like education and healthcare. Low-income communities have a high school dropout rate 4.5 times higher and a level of healthcare that is 80% worse than that of high-income communities. Two factors that make it much harder for a community to work its way out of poverty. Another factor at play here is the inequality of enforcement. There is ample proof that law enforcement profiles African Americans, which is a polite way of saying that they actively target African Americans for investigation and arrest solely based on the color of their skin. This point is central to what is happening in Ferguson right now. Last year, more than 85% of all drivers stopped by Ferguson police were African American, and 12.1% of those drivers were searched. This is important because white drivers were only searched 6.9% of the time. Contraband was found 34% of the time when the driver was white and only 22% of the time when the driver was African American. And that's not even the biggest disparity. 93% of the people arrested by Ferguson police last year were African American, which some would take as proof of a huge disparity in how African Americans are treated by police. Add to all of this the murder of Oscar Grant by police in Oakland, the murder of Eric Garner by the NYPD, and numerous other similar incidents, and it's easy to see a pattern of racially motivated police violence worthy of protest. If you're wondering why police are legally allowed to shoot to kill, please click on this link down.
Let's look first at when the police are allowed and not allowed to use lethal force.
Okay. I wanted to kind of give a background information about what was going on in Ferguson. And undoubtedly, regardless of the color of any man, he should not be shot to death in the middle of the streets. And undoubtedly, it has caused our nation to be alarmed at what has gone on in Ferguson. It is, and it's caused members throughout our nation to begin to protest about the things that have gone on, and they have been met with some force and having tear gas and all of that, and it's just such a sad time. But my concern is what is the Christian response when stuff like that happens in our culture, in our society? And not only what has happened in Ferguson, but what has happened in the Middle East when a man before the world is being killed. And we're now concerned about terrorism and a new group called ISIS and wars. Even today, the president is trying to muster up support to fight this terrorist organization, and it seems like that our world is falling apart. It seems like that things are out of control. But what is the Christian response to things such as this? And better yet, we can pose the question, where is God in Ferguson? Where is God in the Middle East? Where is God in New York? And where is God when the innocent perish? That's a good question to ask, and hopefully we'll be able to come up with the answers tonight, because I'm not going to be the only one giving the answers tonight. We're going to discuss some of the things that are going on in our world, and prayerfully we'll be encouraged as a result of coming together and looking at the Word of God. But again, tonight we're talking about what to do when your world is falling apart. And maybe your issue is not Ferguson. Maybe your issue is what's going on right here in Paul's Valley. Your issue might be what's going on with your work, or what's going on in your marriage, or what's going on with your bank account. And it seems like that your world is falling apart. And you are not seeking God for what's going on over in the Middle East. You're seeking God for what's going on in the middle of your family. You're wondering, where is God in the midst of this madness when it seems like everything is falling apart? Where is God? Again, we're talking about what to do when your world is falling apart. Well, our first text, we look at and we see where God is. It says here that God is a refuge in verse 1 of 46. It says that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Hello, somebody. So when we pose the question, where is God, when it concerns me, where is God when it concerns the world that I live in, God says that I am right here. I'm right in the midst of it all. As a matter of fact, I'm a refuge and I am strength if you choose to depend upon me. And not only that, but I'm an ever-present help in trouble. Are you living in troubled times? Do you feel like you're in trouble? Then God says, I'm right there with you. I'm right there. I'm an ever-present help in trouble. Matter of fact, Psalms 99 says, the Lord is a refuge for the what? For the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And many times we see that there are people who are being oppressed, and God says that I am a refuge. There are people being taken advantage of. God says I'm a stronghold in times of trouble. So if God is a refuge, then the question I have to ask tonight, and I want you to answer for me tonight, is what is the most powerful thing that the oppressed in Ferguson, Missouri can do to overcome? What is the most powerful thing that they can do?
Pray.
Yes.
Uh-oh, I heard one word.
If they are Christian,
yeah,
they would know.
You said what?
Pray.
Pray? Is that what you said? Just pray? Is that it? Is it that simple? Come on now. Our world is turned upside down, and that's all you say, is pray.
That's what I'm saying. Pray.
Anybody else have an answer? This man here said, pray. What do you say? You said, fight. We should fight. Fight the power. Is that what you said? Amen. She said, we should fight. Okay, Sister Eton, what do you think they can do?
Well, I think that in this time, you know, it's a harvest for the Christian. Roll up there and start witnessing, because right now nothing that they're doing is, that awareness is out there, but then, you know, like they said, after the cameras leave and things go back to status quo, you know, what do? You know, but it's a good teaching ground, you know, for the Christian believer to go in and witness.
So you said, he said, pray, she said, fight, and Sister Eton said, witness. Okay, anybody else? What should they do? Pose the question, where is God in this? When we see folk who ain't got God in them, then you see the evidence of what happens. So that's why we see the importance of trying to get folks saved, because folk that's saved should have God in them, and that should determine their behavior. Hello, somebody. They shouldn't be the ones who are the rebel rousers. They should be the ones, as Deke said, who are seeking peaceful terms. Hello, somebody. Not to say you don't fight, but you fight the right way. Amen? Amen. So
Christians, they wouldn't be out setting their own town on fire.
Well,
breaking windows and destroying property.
Because
Christians don't do that.
That's right. Christians don't do that. As a matter of fact, the Bible describes somebody who kills, steals, and destroys. And who is that who kills, steals, and destroys? That's the devil who kills, steals, and destroys. So, you know, he'll do it anywhere. So you don't ask where God is. We know where God ain't. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. So I think the most important thing that we can do is what some of you guys have said. Number one is pray. Hello, somebody. It seems like Christians take God for granted.
Come on.
Hello, somebody. We can pray. We can pray for peace. We can pray for righteousness. We can pray for justice. I was reminded when the children of Israel were down in Egypt and they were being oppressed. And guess what they did? They prayed. And God deliver them. Hello, somebody. So never underestimate the power of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why it's important that we do share the love and witness to folk, because Christianity changes the world. Hello, somebody. One person at a time. It changes the world because it takes somebody who's used to being fighting. Hello, somebody. Make him a man of peace. Somebody who has anger issues and make him a man of peace. Christianity can change the world.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. All this stuff that we're facing in our day and time, so this is ungodly behavior. Christian folk don't behead people. Hello, somebody. Christian folk are not about war. They're supposed to be about peace. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. So when we enter in uncertain times that we are in, we need to do what some of you guys have said. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Point number two, God roars. It says that nations are in an uproar, kingdoms fall, and he lifts his voice and the earth melts. That sounds like a powerful God. Psalms 18:13 says, "The Lord thunders from heaven, and the voice of the Most High resounds." God roars. He lifts up his voice. God is not afraid of any nation. Don't you know that? God is above any nation. Hello, somebody. Sometimes we don't realize that. And why we say we pray, you know. we're having issues with South Korea.
Hey, you need to pray. Hell, having issues in
North Korea, having issues with other nations in the Middle East. We can pray about these things.
Amen.
Question is, what should Christians' response be to what's going on in the Middle East? Y'all know what's going on? Can anybody tell me what's going on in the Middle East?
Total chaos.
Total chaos. What else?
The terrorist group overtake a nation.
Trying to overtake a nation, and who are these terrorist people attacking?
Christians. They're attacking. Well, everybody over there is not Christian.
I'm talking about in the news story. Who are they attacking?
Children. They're attacking just the help.
Who did they just kill? Who? What were they?
Journalists.
The journalists from where? Hello, America! Don't you know that you're all here today? You're Americans? Mm-hmm. And don't you know that sometimes it's dangerous according to what place you go in the world to let it be known that you are an American? Why do you think folk don't like Americans?
Superpower.
Hey, religious freedom, Jesus Christ. Hello, somebody. That's a big issue. Hello, somebody. And that's why in America we take God for granted and the religious freedom for granted. There are some folk around the world who literally, in order to worship, they have to worship underground. They can't worship like we worship today with the doors open and saying, everybody come. They can't share the love like we share the love. They can literally lose their lives. Literally lose their lives. Hello, somebody. Why else do they not like America?
Powerful nation.
That's another reason.
And some of them on the other side think that Americans oppress them.
And some folks think Americans oppress them. And most of us don't have a clue about who they are. Who are these people? I don't know these folks.
I don't think they may hate us too because of our prosperity. Of course.
Don't you know that even the poorest person in America is rich compared to most people in the world?
Yes.
But we in America take these things for granted. But our God says that he can speak to the nations. He can roar. And he can cause peace. So he's the answer to what he wants to get done in our world today. And many times this peace that we seek too is when Jesus come back again. That's going to be total peace. Hello, somebody. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. But it's interestingly to know that many of us Americans, we just oblivious. Unless we watch the news about how the rest of the world see us. And the rest of the world see us as blessed. And the thing that I like to get Christians to see that we are blessed. And to whom much is given, guess what? Much is required. We have freedom. Then we should use that freedom to make an impact right where we are first. Hello, somebody. That Acts 1:8 initiative on the campus, in the city, in the state, in the world, because we are so blessed. But most of us have bought into that Christianity of that people talk about materialism. We just want the houses and the cars and all of that when Christ is trying to use us to literally save the world. Hello, somebody. Let's go to this next point. God reconciles. He makes what? Wars to cease to the ends of the earth. Hello, somebody. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. I like this. Let's read this together on three. One, two, three. This is Isaiah 2:4 on three. One, two, three.
He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples.
They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore.
Amen. God reconciles. And this reconciliation, and a lot of what we're talking about is really is when the Prince of Peace comes back. I think when the Prince of Peace comes back, there he's gonna cause wars to cease all over the world after he defeats the enemy, because the enemy is the devil, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's doing his job. The devil is doing his job. The devil's not taking a break. The devil don't need a vacation. He's doing his job. The problem with us in our day and time is that Christians are not doing our job. Hello, somebody. And our job is to make him known. Our job is to share the love. Our job is to literally save the world. And we think that we save the world by being a powerful nation. No, we save the world by being powerful men and women of God who go out and share the love, and when people get saved, they literally change. Hello, somebody. But this is looking forward to a time where there'll be no more wars. Hey, is there anybody here ever remember when there was not a war? Anybody? You raise your hands. Hello, somebody.
Let's see this. What do you think God... do you think that God has the power over ISIS or any terrorist group?
Yes.
Really? How?
God's God. God can do anything he wants to do.
Right. What about this free will y'all talked about? What about this free will?
Well, that's true.
If he wanted to, even with your free will, you can die with your free will. Hello, somebody.
And eventually he will.
Amen. Yes, eventually he will. So we talk about that free will. God gives you free will, but we don't talk about you're gonna there's consequences to the free will that you got too, and that there's a payment for what you do. And if you kill folk, guess how most likely you're gonna die? You're gonna get killed. Hello, somebody. You reap what you sow. Yeah. What you say?
If you live by the sword,
you're gonna die by the sword. And no matter who you are and how you run and how you hide, how you hooded, don't you know God knows your face? Hello, somebody. He knows your face. Bin Laden's out. He could get away. He could hide. He did all of this destruction. But he got found out. Hello, somebody. Yes, Saddam Hussein. Every major crazy dictator that went wild, in the end, they got found out. They were destroyed.
Man.
So we can take care of it today and know that God he's still in control. He's all powerful. Now, sure, folk got free will, but with that free will comes consequences.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Did you want to
put an addendum to that, to say that ISIS is just not a group of people who are from that particular land. These people have formed from all over. Those are Americans, Brits, Europeans. I mean, It's all different who are pissed off behind whatever they're mad about that are over there, because they're thinking that the guy that did the killing of the journalist is a Brit. So,
because he had an accent,
you know, and that's the danger of the whole thing, is because they don't know that these people are here, or they know that they're here, but they have American passports. They can come in and out the country and do whatever they want to do. They're not just like those that are foreign born over there and have to come here, you know, by way of a passport or a visa. These people have free will back.
Amen. And but in and through it all, we know that God has power over all this. Mm-hmm. And the most powerful thing we do is pray.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. This is the most powerful thing we do is pray. Pray, Lord, expose his identity. Hello, somebody. Lord, show him where he is. Hello, somebody. Because again, you have free will, but you're gonna pay the consequences for the free will that you have, and you're gonna reap what you sow. And that's why Christian folk don't have to be afraid when it seems like the world is falling apart, because God is still on the throne.
Amen.
God is still on the throne. Even when the legal system don't do what they're supposed to do, God is still on the throne. You don't have to get mad and argue, fuss and fight and throw and make fires and go out and destroy your own neighborhood. That don't make no sense. Your own property. You don't have to do that because you believe that God is all powerful.
Amen.
And again, yes, he gives free will, but there's consequences to the will that you have, and you're going to reap what you sow. So God knows. Pray about it.
Amen.
Lord, expose this group. You see, they may be too intelligent for us, but God knows where they are, whether it's Britain, the Middle East, hello, somebody, India, where God knows.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. And that's why our Christian folk have to learn how to pray and don't get discouraged about what's going on in this world today, because our God is everything he says he is that we're looking tonight. He says he's a refuge. And we've got to run into him. He says that he roars, that there's no nation that we need to be afraid of, no nation we need to tremble. Even if we wasn't in America, hello somebody, there's no nation that we have to be afraid of destroying the world. Don't you know that South Korea can't destroy the world with North Korea can't destroy the world with nuclear bombs? Why can't they destroy the world? The world cannot be destroyed because Jesus got to have a place to come back to. Hello, somebody. And he says he's coming again. We don't have to be concerned about the greenhouse effect. We think that the world is going to end up. No, the world can't end until Jesus comes again. And it's not going to end. It's going to change. It's going to be transformed. Hello, somebody. So we don't have to be worried about rogue nations. We don't have to be worried about rogue terrorists. We don't have to be worried about rogue cops. We don't have to worry about that because our God is God. He's a refuge. He roars. He reconciles. God can cause peace when it needs to be peace. Hello, somebody. And lastly, our God is rest. What did he say? What to do when you're world is falling apart. What did he say?
Be still
and what?
And know that I am God.
And what?
I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
He says, okay, when it seems like your world is falling apart, you don't have to go running around like Chicken Little with your head cut and saying the sky is falling. Hello, somebody. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be concerned. You don't have to lose any sleep over what's going on in our world today. Oh, God says the only thing you need to do is two things. To be still and know. Hello, somebody. To be still. That same sounds like those words that Jesus said in the midst of the storm when the disciples thought their world was falling apart. Jesus said, peace, be still. Amen. Hello, somebody. Amen. And there's somebody here tonight and you're concerned about what's going on in the world. Or it seems like that your world is falling apart. And God says, I have two things I want you to know. First of all, you need to get somewhere and sit down. Be still. Have you ever had one of those kids that fidgeting around, drive you crazy, fidgeting around? You got to tell them, be still. God is saying that some of us here, we're fidgeting around. We're worried about what's going on all around the world, in the Middle East, in Ferguson. And we're concerned about the two storms on the opposite coast. We're concerned about the floods. We're concerned about the fires. We're concerned because we seem to be a one world nation now, because we all can know it all at one time. Hello, somebody. God says, be still. And once you be still, you got to know something. You have to know that I am God. Hello, somebody. Be still. It seems like your world is falling apart. Be still, God says, and know who I am. Don't you know who I am?
Wow.
I've been around some folk who's looking at everything, and here I am. I have an answer. They won't ever come to me. Looking everywhere else.
Yeah. And
I have an answer. That's what God is saying to some. We're looking everywhere else, and we're anxious about all these things and all this stuff, looking everywhere else. And God says, wait a minute, hey, know that I am God, that I am God. I like the way Isaiah 37:20 says, now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the nations of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God.
Amen.
That they will know. They will know that you, Lord, are the only God. And that's what God wants us to do as a church. It's our job to remind the world who God is.
Amen.
In times like these, it's our job to be the one to have faith and say that our God has the answer. I can remember Daniel woke up one morning and he was a dead man walking. The king got upset with all the magic folk of the kingdom, those who are supposed to have magical powers. And the king had a dream. And these folk couldn't tell him the dream because the king said, not only do I want you to interpret my dream, but I want you to tell me what I dreamed. It was an impossible situation. So Daniel woke up being a part of those men. He woke up a dead man walking. But don't you know that Daniel represents the Christian folk in our world today. Daniel, even though it was an impossible situation, came to the king and said, hey, my God is able. And he had to let the kingdom know that God was the only God.
Amen.
Because he could do the impossible. Not only could he interpret the dream, but God can tell me what you dreamed. Hello, somebody. Everybody else was saying it's impossible. It can't be done. But Daniel had to let them know who God was. God is the only God. He's all powerful. Oh, he can tell me what you dreamed and give me the interpretation of the dream that you dreamed that nobody else can tell you. Hello, somebody. And that's what he did. And that's what we as Christians should represent in our day and time. And what we should stand on when it seems like our world is falling apart. If we only have one thing to stand on. If you only left with one thing. I'm going to give you three words that could change your life. Three letters. G-O-D.
Amen.
Amen. Hello, somebody. God, and people like to ask the question, where is God when things are falling apart? Many times when things are falling apart for the Christian, they're really just falling together. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. When we think life is about to just about to lose it, and we're in the midst of a storm, and we look out and we see a ghost. See, life is about to fall apart, but really, the ghost was about to make things fall together. Hello, somebody. Somebody's going through something tonight, and you thought that there was no hope. God said, hey, let me remind you who I am. I am the only God. I know some of your celebrities like to say that there's more than one way to God. No?
Yeah.
It's not more than one way to God, because this definite article here says that he's the only God. All this other stuff that people are worshiping and all that's idol worship. It's not real. And in the Old Testament, God used to always get on his people because they would take up that idol worship. They'd be worshiping idols who had eyes and couldn't see, a mouth and couldn't talk, and ears and couldn't hear. Hello, someone. And didn't know that they served the only God. And that God can do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask and imagine. And before we go into our prayer time tonight, let me ask this last question. Do you think that there is anything going on in our world that God is not sovereign over? Do you really think that there's anything going on in our world that God is not sovereign over? You said, what you said? What was it? You said, well, you said what? No? He's sovereign over it all. But you don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. You don't know my children. You don't know my boss. My boss is literally possessed. Hello, somebody. You say? You don't know my bank account, Reverend. You don't know my credit debt. Hello, somebody. People think I have it all. All I have is debt. And if I miss two paychecks, Reverend, I lose it all. My house, my cars, my... Because it ain't mine yet. I'm 15 years in. Hello, somebody. On a 30-year mortgage. Hello, somebody. God is sovereign.
Amen.
And regardless of what's going on in our world today that would make us want to weary, whether it's in our world or it's in our own house. You know, because sometimes it's our own house that drives us nuts. Because of who's in it. And I assume it's not you because y'all here in the Bible study. Can't be y'all. It's them other folk that's in it. God is sovereign over it all. What'd you say, Tim? What'd you say? Okay. You look at he well, you're trying to see if he's coming back. Yeah. So, church, I just want you to be encouraged. And I just want to remind you of the God that you serve. What to do when your world is falling apart? Be still and know that he's God. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Just be still. Stop fretting. Stop worrying. And know that he is God. Tonight, we're going to enter into our time of prayer. And we're going to pray a special prayer for Ferguson. We're going to pray a special prayer for what's going on in the Middle East. And then I'm going to pause to give you an opportunity just to pray for what's going on, not just in the Middle East, but the Near East. What's going on in your own house, in your own marriage, in your own bank account. And we believe that God is the only God, then we can really begin to trust him. In and through it all. Amen?
Amen.
All those who are able to bow, I want you to get bow to your knees. We're going to continue to pray for our 10 most wanted as well. Continue to pray for revival in our church. Amen?
Amen. That's it all I have. God talked to him when I was coming to church all over at Leonard's, and he was in there, and this is God been asking to come to church, and he told me that they found his mom dead and there's going to go over. It's in Arden where it happened. Mm-hmm. He said it's going to be under investigation. Mm-hmm. His name is Joseph. And I can see the hurt in him, you know. So I remember him with his family prayer.
Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, we come tonight, Lord, just want to thank you and praise you for your word, Father. And we want to stand on your word, Father, in uncertain times, Father. Even as we intercede on behalf of Joseph, Father, and the loss of his mother, Father, we just pray, Father, that you would minister right now, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. We come tonight, Lord, just want to pray, Lord, for what's going on in Ferguson, in the Middle East, and in our world, Father, that makes us want to be anxious, Father. And become, Father, believing, Lord, that you are God and that you're God all by yourself. You're the only God. And as a result of that, Father, we can appeal to you, Father, when things are not right, Father.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And become praying, Lord, for, oh, Lord, that family that lost that young boy, Father, in the middle of the streets, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Not only that, Father, we come praying for a community, Lord, that's been in an uproar, Father. We're praying, Lord, that you will use your mighty power to speak peace, Lord, to that community and other communities that are ailing as a result of the oppressed being oppressed, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we believe that you are God, Lord, and we believe, Father, that you give us free will, Father, but there's, oh, accountability to that free will, Father, and that each man will reap what he sows, Father, which means that justice, if it doesn't happen in our courtroom, in the courtroom of heaven, justice will happen, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we can depend upon you, oh, Lord, to call justice, oh, to roll down, Father, in Jesus' name, Father. We believe, Lord, that you are God and God all by yourself. And Lord, we speak peace, Lord, not only to Ferguson, but Father, to our whole nation,
yes,
Father, that's
yes,
in an uproar, Father. We pray, Lord, for what's going on in the Middle East, Father, and those who choose to be enemies of us, Father. And Father, we say again, Lord, we know, Lord, that people have free will, but we know also, Father, that there are consequences to the free will. And Lord, that man that killed, oh, that innocent man, Lord, that was in a mask, Father, you know who he is. And we pray, Father, that you hold him accountable, Father, in Jesus' name. And all accountable, oh, folk who are taking hostages, accountable, Father, for their behavior, Lord, in Jesus' name. For we believe, Father, that you are all powerful over all the nations, Father. We believe, Father, that you're powerful over all the terrorists, Lord, and we believe, Lord, oh, standing on your word that a man reaps what he sows, and a man that lives by the sword will die by the sword. Father, in Jesus' name we cry out, oh, to you, Lord, for justice, Lord.
Justice, Lord.
In Jesus' name, Father. But mostly, Lord, we're crying out to you for mercy, Lord, for there's some folk that need to come to know you, Father, and their world is falling apart, and they need some help, and they're turning to their rage, they're turning to alcohol and drugs, Lord. But Father, we pray, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that they may be saved, and that they may find the only God, Father, who can save their soul, Father, in Jesus' name, and that soul salvation will come in these places, Father. That, oh, we're praying for justice, Father, but we're praying, Lord, that your gospel go forth in all of these places, in Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. We know, Father, some folk have come here tonight, Lord, not concerned about Ferguson or the Middle East. They're just concerned about what's going on in their own household or what's going on in their own work, Father. And it seems like the world is falling apart because, oh, Lord, not only what's going on in their household, in their work, in their marriage, but life seems to collectively cause things to fall apart in the loss of loved ones after loved ones, Father. And it seems to be stacking up, Father. And it seems like, oh, there's some, at the sound of my voice, oh,
seem like that they're about to lose their grip on life. They seem like they're about to lose their mind, Father, because all of this is coming at them at one time, Father. But your word came tonight that told us, oh Lord, the answer to all of our problems. And the answer is to be sealed and know, Father, that you are God, in Jesus' name. And we depend upon you, Father, as God. We depend upon you, Lord. Oh Lord, to take care of our marriage, to take care of our mates, to take care of our children, to take care of our boss, to take care of our mortgage, to take care of any wayward bill, Father. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, we come crying out to you, seeking you, Father, in a time, Lord, that you can be sought, Father, for your word told us tonight to be sealed and know that you are God. And right now, we're on our knees and we're still, Father, right now. Oh, we're in prayer, Father, and we are still, Lord. And as a result, Lord, we know, Father, that you are God. And because we know you're God, we believe by faith that you're dispatching your angels right now to come see about, oh, us as a church. Dispatching your angels right now, oh, to our address. Dispatching your angels right now to our work. Oh, Lord, dispatching your angel right now to our minds, Lord, and speaking peace in our minds, and speaking joy in our minds, in our souls, Lord, in Jesus' name, because we depend upon you, Father, for you are God. You are the only God, God all by yourself. You are the great I am, Father, that Moses had to cry out to. Oh, Lord, when Egypt had to be confronted as a nation, oh, you spoke to that nation and caused that nation to cease. Oh, because your mighty power, and we call on that same God today, oh Lord, to take care of our marriage, to take care of our children, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. And we come tonight, Lord, interceding on behalf of Deacon Melvin and Taylor, Farmer, oh Lord, for her body, Father. She's sick in her body, oh Lord. And our two visitors, Lord, had prayer requests, Father, and we believe by faith, oh Lord, that you can heal cancer. We believe by faith that you are God with the power to touch and to make whole and to make well again. We believe by faith that there's still a bomb in Gilead. We believe by faith, oh Lord, oh, in the words of Peter, oh, and John, in the master's marvelous name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, that you're causing some folk to get up right now, Father, in Jesus' name, to walk in Jesus' name, to do the impossible in Jesus' name, to do something they've never done before in Jesus' name. We believe by faith that you are God, and we cry out to you, Father. We make every day a visual, Father, every day that we cry out to you, and at this a better place, Lord, is what you're calling us to make this place right here in Paul's Valley and around the world, Father. Use the influence that we have here to impact the world, Father. For when you wanted to turn the world upside down, Lord, you chose 12, Father. And Lord, we want to be that 12 in this place to turn the world upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise
thank
the
you
Lord.
For listening today. And we want to take this opportunity to describe the ABCs of salvation. The A of salvation is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The B of salvation is believe in your heart. And the C of salvation is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can do those three things today, then you can be saved. If you can believe that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, that he died for your sins and was buried and raised again on the third day, then today you can be saved. And you can pray a simple prayer of salvation and just ask God into your heart to accept, believe, and confess today, and you will be saved. You pray a prayer of salvation. We want you to become a part of a church home. If you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, We want to see you at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. We want to thank you for listening. Bless you. Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. And if you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.